It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Leytonstone Loves Film 2021 podcast series. My name is Stuart Wright, and regular listeners will know I've been the host of Britflix podcast since 2013. For new listeners who came here for the Leytonstone Loves Film 2021 content, I've been a resident of Leyton for over 20 years, and I'm proud to be part of a film festival happening right on my doorstep in East London, UK. Leytonstone Loves Film 2021 is a free 4-day film festival and really has something for everyone of all ages who can make it to the birthplace of one of cinema's greats, Alfred Hitchcock. It runs from Wednesday 15th September to Sunday 19th September in outdoor and indoor venues along the Leytonstone High Road and across town. There'll be open air film screenings in Langthorne Park and indoor events in Leytonstone Library, St John's Church, Philibrook, Heathcote and Star, Nexus Centre, online and more. As well as films, there'll be talks, installations, trails and workshops. The Leytonstone Loves Film 2021 podcast series will be 10 podcasts in total. 9 are released on Friday, 3rd of September. Each of those podcasts feature 3 or 4 preview interviews with the filmmakers and or film organisations taking part in the 4-day event. A 10th podcast will be released late September, look back on highlights from Leytonstone Loves Film 2021. The show notes include the names of the guests and organisations featured in this episode, links to the main Leytonstone Loves Film 2021 website, as well as links to specific parts of the programme that feature in this episode. That includes the what, the where and the when. It just needs me to say, on with the interviews and enjoy this episode of the Leytonstone Loves Film 2021 podcast series. Who are you and who or what do you represent?
I am Ethan Ross. I represent Big Tent Films along with Emmanuel Lee, who you've already spoken to.
Indeed, I have.
We are a film / media / everything production company / collective sort of focused on, I guess, community and youth voices in mostly short film. Yeah.
And what? How did that come about?
So I met Emmanuel about 4 years ago, I would say. Mm-hmm. And we both simply just wanted to make films. It was before we'd either kind of made anything of note or anything we were proud of, but we just sort of made each other. We both wanted to make films. So it sort of naturally ended up drifting together, I would say. Mm. And then from there, it just grew and grew and grew. We started working with different people and they became more frequent collaborators and it kind of just built outwards, yeah.
What does Leytonstone Loves Film mean to you?
So we attended a workshop about 2 years ago on first-time filmmaking. I mean, we had already done first-time filmmaking by then, but it was still a nice kind of opportunity to, I guess, consolidate what we knew, which was great. And also, I would say, we know Leytonstone Loves Film because of Forest Film Club, which is always a festival that's been like really kind of kind to us. We've met people, we've got work through there. Mm. So Anthony and Sarah have really like supported our filmmaking, especially because we work in Waltham Forest a lot. So just our kind of connection to the event comes through a lot of very positive like filmmaking channels. So it's a good thing, definitely.
Yeah, I must admit, that's certainly a message I'm getting from the people I'm interviewing, is that there's a bunch of creatives in this borough and they all seem to be very supportive of one another.
Yeah, I mean, I would say I actually don't live in Waltham Forest, I live in Enfield, but I end up working, you know, on Borough of Culture a bit with Emmanuel, and just kind of our shoots have been around that area. But I can just tell there's kind of like a very creative vibe in Walthamstone. Kind of not Holmes Park as much, but like just there's that kind of vibe of collaboration and stuff you get with people around that area, which is very positive. And I think it's good that Leytonstone last film was making that like a more kind of concrete thing, I guess.
I mean, look, I've been living in Leyton for 20 years, but you'll know from my accent, I'm not from Leyton. So what exactly is Big Tent Films going to be contributing to Leytonstone Loves Film this year?
Yeah, so me and Emmanuel are running a workshop on taking film past first-time filmmaking. I can't get you the exact name right now, but we've seen, you know, countless workshops at Leytonstone and other film festivals as well about how to get started, kind of basics.
Yeah.
And we wanted to show how you can, I mean, that's all well and good, but having to take that to like a level that goes a bit further for you. I mean, we're not super professional. We're just like, it's less about having it as a career and more about having it as like a proper means of expression that can represent your own ideas and worldview. And kind of it's something that you can properly enjoy doing. Because for the first, like, however long making films, it's really, really tough. I mean, starting making films is one of the hardest things I've ever done because it's just, we're just trying to do this thing and it's just so, so, so hard because there's all these different skills at once. And we thought if we could show a way past that and show kind of how you can get it somewhere that's more comfortable and kind of more represents who you are as a person, which is something we've been lucky to experience, then that'll be good.
What kind of subject does that mean you'll be talking about when people come to you?
There are obviously some technical things about how to sort of, you know, make films in a more serious way and look more professional. But it is mostly about kind of taking film more as expression and less as just telling a story. Because I think there's a lot of the conversation about filmmaking for kind of first timers or short film makers is like just tell a story convincingly, make it engaging, and you're done. What we found through what we watch and what we're interested in, what we've made, it's become more and more personal. And I think it's very frustrating making films that aren't personal. And I've had projects myself within the 10 short films that aren't personally representative of me. And I've made for like on other people's scripts or as favors. And it just kind of isn't, I wouldn't go there. So it's kind of just like trying to spread our passion and I guess get people to engage with film in the way that we find so rewarding. Yeah.
So in a way, see film like a writer would see an exercise in creative writing.
Yeah, completely.
Outside of what you'll be doing, what aspect or specific event are you looking forward to at Leytonstone Loves Film this year?
Oh, I haven't had a chance to properly go through the programme, but we did a panel with Not Another Film Club. Mm-hmm. I think they're doing some film showings and we'd definitely be interested in those. Me and Emmanuel are both quite avid cinema goers, so that'll be great for sure.
What is it about what they do that appeals to you?
Well, I think it's always good to have kind of curated cinema. The films that we find ourselves watching tend to be in those kind of channels, like a movie or certain art house cinemas, which kind of curate it and make sure it's like a personal experience. I think it all comes back to that for film, but it's good because what they're doing is kind of making film more personal and what they're showing compared to like Cineworld.
What is it about, and obviously we're coming out of a lockdown where we've not been able to do this very much, but what is it in particular about the shared experience that enhances film so much or makes film better?
I think films are kind of designed to play to different people. I mean, the whole process of making a film, however it is about your own expression or your own kind of ideas, it is completely collaborative.
Yeah.
There's no aspect of film that's just one person. Even the most kind of rigid auteurs still collaborate with dozens of people.
Yeah.
So I think experiencing a film by yourself takes away from that, and you should be able to discuss and share and kind of combine experiences and opinions because everyone comes to a film with different baggage and different ideas. And I found definitely the times that I've connected to films the best has often been with other people because I can say, I like this, you like this. How do we see it differently? And I think it's the same thing with filmmaking because if you come to it just with your ideas and you close off, you don't get other people's perspectives. And I think with film watching as well, that's why cinema is amazing because people will laugh, people will cry at the same time. It's what you need.
I love that about film discourse. When you can come out of a cinema, you've watched it and you've narrowed down on what you thought the film was. And then you say to your friend, wasn't it amazing how they covered this theme or that theme or whatever? And your friend goes, it wasn't about that at all.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you're having to relearn a film you've just walked out of. Or you have a nice heated debate, one or the other, depending how strongly you feel.
I remember really clearly seeing Midsommar actually with Emmanuel a couple of years ago. And us both being quite kind of shaken because it's, you know, quite a scary film, we think. And the couple behind us just laughing the entire time. And it being such a weird disconnect between how we experienced it. Now they experienced it, but I think it made it better actually, because it was like kind of shows you the different point of view you can get.
Well, that can be confusing, can't it? And that's a good thing. Not it's not a pejorative sense. It's sort of like, why am I scared and why are they finding it hilarious? Yeah. What am I not seeing, or what are they seeing?
And we really missed that.
Maybe they were drinking the tea that they were having in Midsummer, the people sat behind you. Here's a test for you. I asked Emmanuel what would be his two top tips for making a movie based on what you've learned making your 10 films.
I would say listen to people around you. Mm-hmm. Because if you're close-minded, it doesn't go well. And I would say come prepared as well. Because I've had productions where I haven't done any shortlisting or storyboarding or any kind of prep. Mm. And it's just terrible. Because it's, you know, filmmaking is juggling a million things. So be prepared, but also be open. That's what I would say.
Excellent. I think one of them's an overlap, but one of them's not. So it'll be interesting to see when you get a chance to hear what Emmanuel said. Now, I didn't ask him this, but because of what we've been talking about, I feel it's a good question. If you could have any filmmaker do a workshop at Leighton Stone Loves Film, who would you can have alive or dead, who would you invite down in your fantasy film workshop you could put on?
That's a very difficult question. I'm quite a film fan. I would say at the moment, I'm quite into Robert Altman.
Okay.
He made Longabye and stuff. And I think even though my favourite directors aren't that style, I think that kind of improvisational working with actors quite a lot is something I'd love to be able to improve on. And he made so many films. So dead Robert Altman.
Well, there we go. No bad choice there. I mean, Robert Altman manages to make films where you can be watching it and you'll be thinking, this character's really interesting. I wonder where they're going to go. And then he'll just go, forget about them. We're going off with this character now, which is not normal. I mean, we're taught from writing, you know, you have a protagonist and it's their story and their story alone. But Robert Altman says, I want to know everybody in this film.
Yeah, and there's been the BFI did a season on his films just the past couple of months. So I've been lucky to watch like 9 in a cinema or something. It's just, they've been amazing.
I'm very jealous. I'm very jealous of you. I've not seen any of them on the big screen, if I'm honest. I think I saw The Player back in the 90s.
Right.
It just gives me to say thank you very much for giving your time on the Britflix podcast.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
You are listening to the Leighton Stone Loves Film podcast series. Leighton Stone Loves Film returns for a third year from the 15th to the 19th of September 2021. Across 4 days, Leighton Stone in East London will be host to a variety of free events brought to you by local filmmakers and film organisations. Let's get back to the interviews. Who are you and who or what do you represent?
My name is Simon Purnell and I own and run a bar restaurant in Leighton Stone called Philly Brook.
And where can people find the Philly Brook?
You can find us down Grove Green Road, down towards the Heathcote pub in a what looks like an old, well, a big black shed, which used to be a Air Cadets training base built in the 30s, I'm led to believe, by one of our older residents nearby who remembers it being built.
Okay.
And it's been used for many different things over recent times. And now it's where we call home.
Brilliant. What kind of food are you doing at the Philly Brook?
We have our friend Fumio Tanga as the chef. And obviously he's doing Japanese food, which is kind of the more izakaya style food, sort of casual dining and small plates. So not your sushi Japanese. It's more the casual side of Japanese dining, which I don't know. It's a little bit underrepresented in London in many ways. There are a few places around, but it's not the norm, and certainly not what you think of when you think Japanese food.
No, not for sure. Yeah, no. I remember going to a place gone on Charlotte Street in the West End.
Yeah, there were a few places. I don't know if some of them have disappeared, but you can find it around London.
Now, the Philly Brook's going to be one of the venues for Leighton Stone Loves Film. So, what was it that convinced you to get involved to be one of the venues at Leighton Stone Loves Film?
Obviously, when the Barbican approached me and. Obviously, we've got huge respect for the Barbican anyway. So, when they wanted to kind of work with us, then it was very interested to do that. And then when we started to explore what it would actually be and what it would mean, then it was a a no-brainer to say yes and to offer our space, you know, for local film. And
it's interesting that it was a former air cadet. So I am a former air cadet.
Oh, are you?
From the north of England. Yeah. Unfortunately for the RAF, it was enough to convince me not to join. I couldn't take orders from a 17-year-old, so I thought the idea of going that step further. I had lots of fun while I was doing it. So how's the Philip Brooks space going to be used for Leighton Stone Loves Film? Are you exhibition, or are you going to be showing films?
We're going to be showing films, and we're lucky here that we do have a lot of space.
Mm-hmm.
We have a room at the back of the building, which we call the gallery room, which is our sort of more events type space, which we haven't really utilized because of obviously COVID over the last few months has restricted what we can and can't do. So we're just now starting to build up a program of events, and so that's where the films will be shown.
Fantastic. Now, finally, it's good you mentioned the pandemic, because I think this has been one of the things that a lot of people have missed out on who love their film. What is it about a film and the shared experience of, like, you know, instead of watching your own, watching it with strangers? What is it about that for you?
I mean, for me, I come from more of a music angle than a film side, but
mm-hmm.
Mainly because I run record labels and, you know, on the independent side. So
yeah,
that side of things is a labor of love for me. So I think it's just giving people the opportunity to show films, which maybe they don't always get the opportunity to. And then us as a local business, having the space to facilitate these things is important in allowing these things to happen as a kind of initial thing. But then, people, after being apart for so long, anything that brings people back together in a safe environment has got to be a good thing. And film is, you know, the perfect medium to do that.
Indeed. So is the record label thing a live thing at the moment for you?
Yeah, it's what I do. As well as run Philly Brook, I run two record labels. My business partner, he's got another record label as well. So we've got three labels between us all.
What are those labels?
And one is called Leng Records, which is more on the sort of mid-tempo, sleazy disco-type dance floor stuff.
Yeah.
All-encompassing dance music. And the other one is Space Talk, which is sort of reissues weird and wonderful music from the last 50 years, more on the left-field side of things.
Uh-huh.
And then the other label we're associated with is Claremont 56, which is sort of, just a highly regarded independent record label.
And any new release you want to give a shout-out for?
We definitely don't trouble the top 10, so we got our latest releases by Cole, our friend Cole in San Francisco. His track's called Little Boxes, which is all remixed by some of our other label artists called 40 Thieves, who are sort of based in San Francisco and Florida. We've got another EP called Punta Allen EP from Lex, who's our man in Athens, who's making some amazing kind of down-tempo Balearic music at the moment.
Oh, nice.
We've got some stuff coming up some stuff from Emperor Machine coming up, some Ron Trent remixes, and he's obviously a US house music legend from over the past few decades. And Daniele Baldelli releases a lot of music with us, and he's a Italo disco legend from the 70s. He was kind of key person in the Italian disco scene in the 70s. So yeah, lots of different stuff we do.
Nice. Well, no, it sounds interesting. Well, look, it just gives me to say thank you very much for giving your time on the Britflix podcast.
No, thanks very much for having a chat. I'm looking forward to the festival.
You are listening to the Leighton Stone Loves Film podcast series. Leighton Stone Loves Film returns for a third year from the 15th to the 19th of September 2021. Across 4 days, Leighton Stone in East London will be host to a variety of free events brought to you by local filmmakers and film organisations. Let's get back to the interviews. Who are you, and who or what do you represent?
So my name is Irina, and I run a company called Sign for All Community. So the company provides awareness and accessibility for deaf families. So we also work with organizations just to make them a bit more accessible, to provide deaf awareness, just so families can access their service and their access in mainstream settings as well. So we do like a range of different kinds of services for fathers, for parents, for children. We work with authors and translate stories into BSL. We work with the cinema. So we'll host like a family film event where we'll go and show a new film, have it in subtitles, and then we'll add like a performance so the kids get to see a deaf role model. They get a bit more than just going to a cinema, just watching a film. And we've also like taught the cinemas deaf awareness and basic signing, so they become more confident to speak to deaf people, and then deaf people are able to attend their venues. We've done like a range of different kind of workshops and activities, but it's mainly all about accessibility.
Got you. Now, we'll put a link in the show notes, but do you want to say what website people can access you on to find out about getting access to your services?
Yeah, the website's still in process. It's on my to-do list, but we do have our Instagram page, which is, it's sign, which is SIGN underscore 4, F-O-R, underscore A-double-L. And on Twitter, it's Sign for All. On Facebook, it's the same. So just type it in and then you'll be able to see the page. And hopefully we'll have the website coming up soon, which will have more information about what we do and evidence of stuff that we've done as well. So
fantastic. Well, look, I'll put all the different details for the different social medias in the show notes, so people don't have to write it down while they're listening. But it's good to know across all the main platforms. So first off, what does Leytonstone Loves Film mean to you?
It's a whole new platform and a really lovely partnership. Leytonstone Loves Film, they've always been supportive. We're Signed for All. They've always offered us opportunities. So during lockdown, they funded us to do an online film event where we created a couple of films, animated films, and families got to watch this during lockdown. And it was really nice for them to see new films. Also, we did a dance workshop with the Leytonstone when they did their one of the festivals when we first joined. So we had like a dance workshop by a dancer called Chris Fonseca. He's a deaf dancer, choreographer, and teacher. So he led an all-day workshop. And we've also got another family coming up in September. So we've been given so much opportunities to create different work with Leytonstone and to make them more accessible as well, to kind of give back and say, well, as a company, this is what you can do to be accessible. And this is what we can do, and just kind of provide more access to families in Leyton, in Leytonstone, in East London, and just so they're aware about the company and what we do and what everyone else does, really.
Brilliant.
So, yeah, it's been really brilliant.
So what specifically are you going to be contributing to Leytonstone Loves Film this year?
Accessibility. So family film clubs with access, yeah. That'd be our main focus.
What's the key to accessibility then? What are the if we were to just put a normal film up for people to watch, mm-hmm. what is it that we're not going to help get people get access to the film?
It's to make sure that these films are subtitled, and to make filmmakers aware to get used to maybe subtitling their film to make it a lot more accessible, and also for hearing people to understand that some type of films will be developed more, and to kind of accept watching a film with subtitles, because I know in the past some people don't like films with subtitles. They find it quite distracting. It's developing more things with subtitles and making hearing people aware that subtitles are normal, to become used to them, don't find it irritable or it's not a nuisance. The film will be in subtitles, and we will do like an intro and maybe like a performance with signing, again, raising awareness to the hearing community, mm-hmm. just so that they, I think more for the kids and for families, to feel like it's quite normal to integrate with other families who might be different.
Got you. I must admit, I accidentally went to a screening at Cineworld at O2 where I didn't realise what I booked to see, and there were subtitles on the film, and it was like, oh, right, I see. I've I've come to a screening that's helping to get access.
It actually helps with spending. I'll be honest. You know, I'm my background. My parents are deaf, so that's why I got into the whole thing with the deaf community and why I'm so strong about access. Because growing up, we didn't have that support. Got you know, it. I'd end up translating to my parents, and at a young age, at that time, I thought that was okay. But now looking back, I'm like, no, that's not okay. And there are families out there that kids still do that. There wasn't much awareness going around in terms of like third-party organisations, the council, social workers. So that's why I'm really strong about access and to help families and to take away the responsibilities that fall onto the children. Mm-hmm. But also for me, I find subtitles that helps me with my spending. And there might be a new word. I'm like, oh, that's how it's spelled, or this is how it looks. You know, and there's a lot of films now where they're international speakers, but they put on English subtitles. And you just kind of become used to it. But then again, it depends on the audience. But it's just encouraging to say, just think more about subtitle work.
There's a lot of mumblers these days on screen. So the subtitles can help you understand what the hell someone's saying, and they're speaking English.
And especially and in accents, if there's a very strong accent as well, that would help. So, yeah, I think it's really important.
No, totally. Outside of the work you'll be doing yourself, what aspect or specific event are you looking forward to the most at Leytonstone Loves Film this year?
Well, I'll be honest. I need to like tap into more of the stuff they do. And it'd be nice to go along to events that's coming up this year to watch other people's work.
Mm-hmm.
But from like certain meetings that we've had and like speaking to some of the people and their companies, the work they do sounds really amazing.
Mm.
So it'd be really nice for me to actually put aside the company and just go and watch and visit. I'll be keen if there's a lot more outdoor stuff coming up this year. I think that'd be really nice as well.
Mm.
And just kind of learning a bit more about the work that they provide as well.
I must admit, I had an experience. I do a thing, I don't know if you've seen like audiograms, which are like video things with wavy files on. I use snippets of the podcast. And I used to post them on LinkedIn and Facebook and so on. And a deaf person got in touch with me and said, this is no good to me. I can't see what's on it. And the software I was using at the time just used to translate the audio into this like video file. And then I went and after getting that feedback, I went and found there's a company called Headliner, which is an app you can use that uses AI to start putting the subtitles on. And then I just neaten the subtitles up a bit. It takes about 10 minutes. And suddenly I've given access to a video file, which obviously it's very common, you see. And I didn't realize that was just as simple as using AI software, which kind of takes the legwork out of putting the subtitles on audio, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, but it makes such a massive difference. And even if any sort of audio recordings and just adding subtitles underneath, it makes a difference because again, you're given a different platform of access. They might not see who's talking, but they can read and know what's going on. Because I always think, what if it was me? You know, what if the tables were turned and I was that deaf person or, you know, a person with disability, how would I feel? And I think I always kind of keep that in the back of my mind thinking, okay, so how would it work for this person? How can they feel that they're included? And being inclusive, and I've always pushed really hard with the company in terms of diversity and inclusion. I've always said, you know, I want it to be diverse. I want it to be really included. I want loads of people to benefit from the service, not just for one particular group or particular area.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you always learn. You learn new things and learn things how to kind of develop and change.
Yeah. What's been the newest aspect that you've discovered in your providing access? What aspects of services?
Gosh, I think it's just constantly talking to the families and asking, like, do you understand this? Is it clear? Because I realized when I did like marketing and just posters, I'd make sure the information was really, really clear, but I'd still have parents go, so what time does the film start? I'm like, it says right there on the poster. So then we started doing promotion videos with the signing, and that really, really helps, showing the venue and then signing with a voiceover and subtitles. So I've been doing more of that during lockdown and more kind of just videos, just making things a lot more clearer. And just constantly just asking the families, like, is this clear? What can we do to improve? Because there's always room for improvement, to be honest.
Indeed, indeed. Everything's a work in progress on the next work in progress.
It is.
Why do you think film works best when it's a shared experience?
Because it brings the community together. You know, it's a chance for everyone to be in the same room, whether it's indoors or outdoors, watch a film that they enjoy. It might be something completely new. And films are educational. There's always a meaning behind films. There's always meanings behind what they're showing. And it's just good for people just to enjoy something and hopefully they learn from it. I think it's a good way of getting the community together.
Couldn't agree with you more. Well, look, Irina, it just gives me to say thank you very much for giving us your time on the Britflix podcast.
Thank you very much, too. Thank you.
You are listening to the Leighton Stone Loves Film podcast series. Leighton Stone Loves Film returns for a third year from the 15th to the 19th of September 2021. Across 4 days, Leighton Stone in East London will be host to a variety of free events brought to you by local filmmakers and film organisations. Let's get back to the interviews. Who are you?
Hello, my name is Caroline Wilson. I am a writer and a curator, and I lead a youth film collective in London called Under London, where we help young filmmakers and we screen work from emerging talent. Mostly young filmmakers, but the word young is quite... I don't want that to be a limitation on someone who maybe have started their career a bit later, because I believe, you know, if you want to make it work, you'll make it work. So we're just here to support anyone who's starting off and who wants to connect with like-minded creatives.
Where was the last place that you screened work at?
We collaborated with Tape Collective last week, and we're doing it at the end of the month as well. So the Tape Collective have designed a film program at the BFI in July called Where Are You Really From? The question coming from, sometimes if you're from like an ethnic background, people go, where are you from? And you say like Leytonstone, they go, no, where are you really from? Like they want to know like where your parents are from or where you're from originally. So that season is films about, you know, identity, especially, you know, if you're from East London, you know, it's kind of a melting pot. There's, you know, it's a bit like United Nations. Everyone's, every single race is represented. I helped them curate a film screening at the end of the month, which came from open submissions. And the young filmmakers got a chance to, once they got chosen, to get their films, the BFI Sank, one of the biggest venues in London. And we helped last week with a screening of The Namesake, which is a film that came out quite a few years ago. And we also did like some spoken word, curated some spoken word stuff.
What does Leighton Stone Loves Film mean to you?
So I got into the project through We Are Parable, which are like an amazing organization. They referred me they were talking to me about the festival like beforehand, because I think they participated in it a few times. And they also live close to the area. And so they're like a inspiration to me, Tian and Anthony. You know, they do such a great job. And I live in Woodford, which is not too far away from Leighton Stone. So I was kind of intrigued because I'm always kind of like with community projects, I'm like, how do I make this still like engaging? Because sometimes when people think community, they think, oh, it's just like bare bones or like, you know, shoestring budget. But then when I got to like, you know, meet the team, they were like, no, like this is what we've done previously. Like we want to like challenge people's view of community cinema, like move it forward, move the medium forward. It means, I think, Leighton Stone means film means like challenging preconceptions and investing in I wouldn't say original community, but just, you know, instead of traveling to Waterloo to screen a film in the BFI, like you can do it at the library. You just need to like renew your mindset. And, you know, if you spend a bit of time on it, you know, you can actually bring that same quality there. You just need to begin to challenge some of the preconceived notions you have that we think, oh, like I need to be at a certain area to get an audience. But it's like you can actually, as a curator, you can actually curate something good locally. You just have to like be more in tune with the audience and like not make any assumptions about them.
And what will you be contributing to Leighton Stone Loves Film?
So I got referred on, and then they were like, send us some ideas. And for so long, I didn't have any ideas. I was getting scared. I was thinking I have to send them an email saying, sorry, I don't know. Like, literally, like, no ideas were coming. I didn't want to just do the typical thing of just, you know, screening some short films. I got to a point also in my development when I knew I had to, like, grow. I didn't just do the typical thing of just screening some short films that have been screened like so many other places that people could just find on the internet. Even though, like, I guess, you know, someone can always discover them, but I wanted to do something different. So it was weeks of thinking. I was actually getting scared. I thought, I was like, oh, maybe I've dried up, you know, like the ideas have gone. I was just like, but then I like the team, like Wilner and everyone was really supportive. They were like, take time, come back to us. So I had a think, and then I was thinking, okay, what do I want to see when I go somewhere? And I was like, at home, I was having problems with like the mainstream streamers on like Netflix, Apple TV, because it would just like, I had hundreds of content that I was paying for monthly, yearly, but yet I was watching nothing. I was like, what is wrong with me? I'm like, it's coming out of my... I was just like, okay, like... And they're coming up with original content. And I was just like, okay, that's the kind of a problem I'm going through at the moment. But I was kind of seeing my friends or people I knew that they had started their own indie streamers. You know, young people had started their own websites where they were kind of like curating their own content, local content, content from like niche communities. So I was like, okay, maybe that's my way in, like doing an exhibition about independent streamers, because we all know about Prime, Apple TV, Netflix is like the conglomerate or whatever that's called. Like, that's like taking over. But I was like, okay, how can I challenge the mainstream? And I was just like, okay, cool. I think I've got my way in. So I already knew a few streamers. I had like, or just creators I knew who were like, I want to start my own streamer. And I just thought that was so inventive. So I was like, okay, let me do an exhibition like that, that people can go to and start looking into content that they wouldn't normally go into, and know that that's an alternative for them when they get home. Okay, if Netflix is too much for me today, I can have a look at like someone's website and a new indie streamer and know that, okay, there's curated content there for me to challenge what's being fed to me. Like, so, and that could be like a an incubator for new talent. So that was kind of like my way in. So I submitted my proposal first. I was getting a bit scared because, oh, they're going to think, okay, like, hope this is worth the wait. But they were like, oh, that's kind of interesting. So that's, yeah, kind of what I'm contributing to the festival, God willing. My concept is, I created a slideshow, and I've also got to like do my like budget form as well. Like, I want it to be kind of like you go in there and it's like a bedroom, like a gamer's bedroom, and you've got like multiple TV screens and you pick what you want to watch. Each TV screen represents like a streamer, and you get to pick, like, have a look, and also like portraits on the wall of the streamers. So you get to kind of like see the stories and the creators behind them and their process, because we also want it to be inspiration for more independent indie streamers to come about. So people to be like, hang on, like, I've got ideas, like because I hear so many people saying, you've got to watch this show, you've got to watch that show. And I'm just like, okay, you just need to put it on a list for me so I can follow it. Like, you know, so many people, they don't necessarily work in film, but they're so passionate about their favorite TV shows or their favorite films. So I think it's healthy, you know, since, you know, streaming is just the way that the industry has moved forward. I think we need to also champion the counterculture and the, you know, the independent voices that are rising through. And I think, you know, hopefully with this exhibition, if we inspire one person just to start their own playlist or their own, you know, I think that will be cool to just continue that along.
What's the title of your strand of the festival? What's the title you've given it?
Well, I need to think of like a, you know, a more catchy title. It's like indie streamers, but I need to think about that more. That's okay. Another thing of, sometimes my brain is slow. It takes time for the penny to drop, but...
Sounds like you've been doing a lot of thinking. Don't worry about that. What aspect of or specific event outside of what you're doing are you looking forward to at Leytonstone Loves Film?
I think with going to the partner meetings and stuff, it really seems like there's a lot of different, you know, people from different demographics and ages that I'm kind of interested in attending and having a look. Because I think sometimes I've worked a lot with people who are similar age to me, kind of like the similar things. And sometimes through hearing some of the pitches, like they're completely different. Like, and I think that's kind of what I need at the moment. So I'm kind of interested in keeping an open mind and just like popping into things and really like, because sometimes my inspirations come from things that are like so, you know, things that I would never expect. And then I'm like, I see something, I take a bit of it and I'm like, okay, I'm going to use that for my next thing.
They're the best inspirations.
Exactly.
Why do you think film works best when it's a shared experience as opposed to watching a film on your own?
I think it carries memories of the event, of like going there, sitting down. So it's the whole like communal thing. When I go to the cinema, I also like to know the reactions around me, like to certain scenes or certain things. So certain things like I don't find funny, but I'm hearing everyone laugh. So it challenges my own viewing experience as well. And I think like I'm such like a geek. I like going to the cinema by myself sometimes. But like sometimes it is necessary for me to like go with a friend, go in the screen that's, you know, like foolish. I've been inspired by what's happened with like Space Jam over the opening weekend, you know, people, families coming down, you know, parents who were children when the first one came out are now bringing their children for the second one. It's like a whole new generation. And that's what cinema's about. You know, people are like, oh, it only scored this on Rotten Tomatoes. I'm like, who cares? It's not for that. That's not what the film is for.
Well, look, it just gives me to say thank you very much for talking to us on the Britflix podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
That's it for this episode of Leighton Stone Loves Film 2021 podcast series. If you've got time, please remember to rate, review and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. Thank you for listening. Leighton Stone Loves Film is produced by The Barbican in partnership with local residents and organisations and is commissioned by the London Borough of Waltham Forest, supported by Arts Council England.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.